from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. California Congressman Dan Lundgren is asking the Interior Department to investigate whether San Francisco's use of water from Hetch Hetchy Valley is against the law. Claiming that the city isn't using its own water efficiently, Lundgren's ultimate goal is to remove the dam and restore the valley to its natural state. Critics of the dam removal idea say the valley provides a crucial source of water and power. We'll take up the debate in this morning's opening forum hour. That's next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. California Republican Congressman and former State Attorney General Dan Lundgren has asked for a federal investigation by the Department of the Interior into San Francisco's use of Hetch Hetchy water, with his stated goal being the dismantling of the O'Shaughnessy Dam. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein has expressed concern that removal of Hetch Hetchy would seriously jeopardize this region's water supply and the clean energy the reservoir generates for millions of Californians. Presently, 2.5 million Bay Area residents get their water from the Hetch Hetchy Reservoir in Yosemite National Park. And since the damming of Hetch Hetchy back in 1923, there have been advocates who believe the reservoir should be drained and a replacement for water and power resources put there. In 2006, an assessment was initiated by the California Department of Water Resources, and the study estimated that draining Hetch Hetchy could cost up to $10 billion and would require massive new investments in both water and power infrastructure and have potential effect on Bay Area water power. On the other hand, Bay Area and water power, forgive me. On the other hand, an environmental defense report 2 years before that in 2004 concluded that there are workable solutions to restoring Hetch Hetchy. And in this morning's opening forum hour, we focus our attention on the ongoing battle over Hetch Hetchy. With us, Representative Dan Lundgren, who is a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, Republican congressman representing California's 3rd District. Welcome, Congressman Lundgren. Good to have you.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
And we also have Jim Wonderman with us here in studio, who is president and CEO of the Bay Area Council. Good morning, Jim Wonderman.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. And we'll also say good morning to Mike Marshall, executive director of Restore Hetch Hetchy. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you. And Ed Harrington is with us as well here in studio, general manager of the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. Welcome, Ed Harrington.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. And Congressman Lundgren, I'm going to begin with you, if I may. Let's outline why you feel this is against the law, why you feel the dam ought to be removed, and maybe you can even explain to listeners how this ties back to the Raker Act.
Well, yeah, let's go back to the Raker Act. The Raker Act was the act establishing the authority for San Francisco to be able to take water from a national park, build a dam in a national park, take the water out. It was a decision made by the Congress. It was much debated at the time, somewhat controversial, but nonetheless, that was the resulting vote. But in there, it, I believe, conditioned it on San Francisco utilizing the water that it has or may thereafter acquire in an efficient and effective way. And my judgment is that if you look at where we are in terms of technology with the use of water, this law is not presently being followed by the city and county of San Francisco. If you look at the recycling, if you look at the question of the use of groundwater, if you look at the question of rainwater harvesting, all things that are not, new technologies or gee whiz technologies, are things that are being done all over the world, all over the country, all over California. And yet, there doesn't seem to be an effort to do that, at least to the extent that I believe is required under the law. Look, I'll be perfectly honest. I have a love affair with Yosemite. I met my wife there. It means a lot to me. The fact that we have the possibility of a second Yosemite Valley is something that at least I believe ought to be looked at. And I've been trying for years to get a serious look at it. And yet, everybody who opposes us seems to be afraid of looking at the facts. All I'm asking is let's look at the facts, see if there's a way to restore the Hetch Hetchy and still allow San Francisco and the environs to have water. But perhaps there would be an additional cost similar to what the cost of water is for everybody else in California.
Well, in your letter to Secretary Salazar, you said, and you've just touched on this, that San Francisco is not investing in systems to recycle water or develop groundwater supplies, and yet Bay Area residents use about half of the state per capita average. So how's that not using water efficiently?
Well, I think that's a nice use of the statistics. You compare an urban area with other areas, agriculture areas with urban areas. You compare San Francisco with other communities, Los Angeles and Orange County. I don't think that you see that as I don't think you seem to come to that same conclusion as you just did.
Are you concerned that closing Hetch Hetchy would, as some say, start water wars with farmers, environmentalists, and residential water areas?
I don't know. All I'm asking for is, all I want to do is to have a study. I mean, I go back to Don Hodel, who was the Secretary of Interior under Ronald Reagan. And Don's a friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in quite a while, but we were certainly friends when he was Secretary of Interior, and I was in my first tour of service as a member of Congress. And I remember well the story he had when a member of his staff came in and said, Mr. Secretary, what would you say if I told you we have an opportunity to have another Yosemite Valley? I think most people don't know that. And my point is this. They talk about the billions it would cost. I don't know what it would cost because, frankly, we've never had a serious study that really quantifies that. But the fact of the matter is, if somebody came up today and said Walt Disney Corporation is going to create a second Yosemite Valley, they're going to create it from whole cloth, it's going to cost several billions of dollars, but think of the tremendous investment that will be for the environment and for people around the world to see it and so forth. People would say, my Lord, we didn't know that was technologically feasible. Well, this isn't Walt Disney. This is God gave us this second valley, and it's in a national park. It's the only valley that's been dammed up after a park was already designated. I just think we ought to take a fresh look at it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If the facts don't bear me out, that's fine. I'll accept the facts. If a serious study shows that it's unreasonable, unrealistic, impractical, impossible, that's fine. But my point is, those who seem to be on the other side of the argument refuse to even have a serious study. And I did trial work before I came to Congress and done other things. I've always found out that when people are afraid of at least looking at the facts, it may be because they don't think the facts will favor them.
And Congressman Dan Lungren with us by phone, member of the U.S. House of Representatives, representing California's 3rd District, and Jim Wunderman's here in studio. He's president and CEO of the Bay Area Council. Afraid to look at the facts, Jim Wunderman?
First, thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for having the show this morning, Michael. No, we're not afraid to look at the facts. You know, clearly there's a lot of things in society that we could study and put millions of dollars into studying, and we probably should, but let's invest in those things that make sense to study rather than don't make sense. And I think this one falls in the second category, despite, I think, the genuine passion that people like Mike Marshall, who speak here for Restore Hetch Hetchy, have for the subject. We've looked at this many times over the years, including when Don Hodel, Secretary of the Interior, suggested it back in the 1980s, just before Ronald Reagan finished being president. It was a bad idea then, and it's a bad idea now, and I think we should stipulate to that and put our efforts into other things. There's three major things of concern. First is the environment itself. It would be a disaster to consider tearing down the dam. The impact to Yosemite Park and the environs of removing the dam would be a disaster for that region of the state, as well as the destruction of 400 megawatts of clean hydroelectric power that currently power the San Francisco Muni system, the cable cars, electric trolleys, light rail systems in San Francisco. San Francisco General Hospital, a few blocks away from this studio, would have to rely on other sources of power, that would have to purchase fossil fuel. Some of us in this region...
And forgive me, you're concerned about the effect on industry as well. I'm bracketed under that category, are you not?
You know, I think we're concerned overall for the effect that this would have on the Bay Area region, 2.5 million people, about a third of the users are in San Francisco. The rest are in three other counties, San Mateo, Santa Clara, and Alameda County, who rely upon this system, have for the last century, to deliver clean, fresh water that doesn't require filtration, that's delivered to the Bay Area through a gravity-fed system over 200 miles. We might not build this today. We'd stipulate to that if that were the question, but it was built 100 years ago or close close to 100 years ago now. It served its purpose quite well. We've just invested, we're in the process of investing over $4 billion right now in making sure that the system's invulnerable to earthquakes, which threaten our region. And to go and invest, the State Department of Water Resources said, as you said, a few years ago, did look at this and estimated a $10 billion cost. That's just the beginning. It would undo the billions that we're spending, and we would need a new source of water, filtration. It would put the region at risk in huge ways, and we don't think that that's practical at all. This is an important system for the Bay Area region. We should preserve it, and I think when Ed Harrington speaks, he will debunk some of the things that Congressman Lundgren is saying, with all respect to him, about what San Francisco does in terms of its environmental stewardship of the area. Because, in fact, and I've been up there many times, I don't trust the creation of a second Yosemite Valley. I've been to both valleys, and this one is actually quite pristine and is publicly accessible. And if people haven't visited there, I would suggest that you do, because you can. And compare it, I think, favorably to the other valley, which has been heavily used by human beings over the course of many decades, and suffers many consequences of the human use. So, yeah, we wouldn't do it today. That's true. But it is in place. It would take billions of dollars to undo it. It creates hundreds of megawatts of clean hydroelectric power that we rely on, that doesn't contribute anything to greenhouse gases. You know, maybe Congressman Lundgren can talk about his record on global warming. Some of us in the Bay Area care about that. He hasn't shown that same interest. Suddenly, he's an environmentalist. Maybe we should talk about that.
Congressman Lundgren talked about the Riker Act. I want to get your thoughts on that, because it does require water use actually go from other available resources before taking from the Tuolumne. I don't know how much the Don Pedro Reservoir actually holds. Some are saying there's no surplus storage of water.
Well, the Bay Area doesn't have rights to Don Pedro. Those are held by the Modesto and Turlock Irrigation District, who have said over and over again for decades, San Francisco and the Bay Area don't have those rights. So the study that was done by Environmental Defense several years ago that pointed that to the source, it just doesn't meet with the facts of what would be available. If this were done, the Bay Area would go to the bottom of the list of water rights. The study itself...
They lose seniority, essentially. Yes,
and the study itself stipulated that in 1 year out of five, there would not be sufficient... Not one out of 50, one out of five, the Bay Area would not have sufficient water if this were done. Now, in this environment, when you have global warming, when we're predicting a reduced snowpack in the future, and we're going to be rely on more storage and more capacity and more systems, does it make sense to take away a system that's working quite well, that we invested in over the years, that we continue to invest in, and I think on examination would find to be that the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission has been an excellent steward for the system and invests millions of dollars in maintenance, not just of that, but of the park itself.
All right, let me bring Mike Marshall in again, Executive Director of Restore Hetch Hetchy, who wants to put Restore and Hetch Hetchy on the 2012 ballot and has been long working as an advocate of this. We do have information that suggests that this would cost billions, and in these times, that's a lot of money to put in.
Well, Michael, thanks for having me on. And I just have to start off by saying there's a lot of information that's been put on this table here today that's just inaccurate. And I think we need to all begin from a place of what Hetch Hetchy Valley was. And, you know, John Muir defined it as one of nature's rarest and most precious mountain temples. It was an extraordinary place. It was one of the most unique ecosystems in the world before it was destroyed by the city of San Francisco. You could walk the 9-mile length of it and see more plants and animal species than almost anywhere else in the world. It was absolutely extraordinary. And the fact that we can bring it back to life, and the notion that environmental restoration would be destructive to Yosemite, is just absurd. But the simple fact that a city on its own can make a decision to reverse a bad decision it made 100 years ago and bring this extraordinary valley back to life before our eyes in the internet age, when school kids from around the world can track the progress of it, that's an amazing opportunity.
Opportunity, yes, but what about the cost and the viability of that opportunity? I mean, you've got, for example, climate change, which certainly Jim Wunderman
Absolutely.
Brings up here.
Well, so don't take it from me or the advocates against it is, you know, look at the reports. There are seven major reports that have been written since the late 80s about restoring Hetch Hetchy Valley. Every single one of them have concluded that it's feasible and it's possible.
Without losing water or power.
Without losing water or power, if San Francisco were actually to reform its water system. And the restoration of Hetch Hetchy should only happen in the context of reforming the 19th century water system that San Francisco has in place today. And that is to begin to reduce our reliance on the Tuolumne River. You started off by introducing the topic as saying that the 2.5 million people rely on Hetch Hetchy for water. Actually, we rely on the Tuolumne River. Hetch Hetchy Reservoir is just one of nine reservoirs that the city of San Francisco owns and operates or has access to. It's not exactly the truth to say that we have no rights or interests in Don Pedro Reservoir. In fact, we paid for 51% of the construction of that reservoir, and one-third of the water is water that belongs to the city of San Francisco. So there are the
issue. It holds two times the water of Hetch Hetchy.
That's correct. That's correct. And we have two other reservoirs that are within a few miles of Hetch Hetchy that we don't use for drinking water. We simply use for power production. The other thing that was said that was untrue here is that we would lose all power produced there. The most comprehensive study that's been done is by the Environmental Defense Fund. And I would send your listeners to our website, hetchhetchy.org, under the resources page. All of those reports are available. And there would be a 20% loss of production of power. But all of the power that's currently delivered to San Francisco would be delivered. What would be lost is the power sold to Big Ag in Turlock and Modesto. And that's a revenue issue. San Francisco would lose about $10 million a year. That currently that money is going into environmental restoration projects. So the notion of losing that revenue stream on behalf of bringing a national park's valley back to life is really an extraordinary opportunity. But many of these things are distractive. The issue here is, what is the opportunity? Where does the opportunity lie? And frankly, when we talk about climate change, we should look at ecological restoration as one of those issues. Everybody likes to focus, and understandably, on the need to reduce carbon emissions into the air. But what nobody's really talking about in any substantive way, environmental groups including, is increasing our ability to absorb that carbon. Look at ecological restoration. The 19th and 20th centuries were incredibly destructive to our ability to absorb carbon. And we need to begin to have a conversation about rebuilding where we can, recognizing that it's going to be hard. But if the city of San Francisco, one of the greenest cities in the country, can't have that conversation and make that decision relative to a valley and a national park, then frankly, we're screwed.
But you've got growing population. You've got aging water. You've got problems of transportation and infrastructure. I mean, I'm not saying these aren't all insoluble,
and we have the Tuolumne River.
Very formidable.
Our water comes from the Tuolumne River. It does not come from Hetch Hetchy Valley. It does not come from Don Pedro. It comes from sources of water, which is the Tuolumne River. We store it in nine different reservoirs, one of which is called Hetch Hetchy, and therefore most San Franciscans mistakenly believe that Hetch Hetchy is the source. It's a storage issue. And if you look at someplace like Los Angeles, which absolutely has a much higher per capita use of water, and that's a shame. But the fact is, 25 years ago when Mono Lake, when all of us were advocating to save Mono Lake, that meant they lost 25% of their water supply. Not storage, water supply. What we're talking about here is reducing the city's ability to store its water in a national park and figure out how to store it elsewhere.
Again, Mike Marshall is Executive Director of Restore Hetch Hetchy. Ed Harrington is also with us in studio, General Manager of San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. Let's get your perspective on this, Ed Harrington. What happens if the dam is destroyed, and what happens if restoration begins as a serious project with all the billions that can come from Disney or wherever?
Well, let's talk about all the different ideas that have come out today. When you're talking about Hetch Hetchy, you are talking about San Francisco, yes, but you're talking about 30 cities in the Bay Area relying on this. It is 2.5 million people. I think Mr. Marshall and the congressman often pick at San Francisco because it's fun to say San Francisco's not doing something. It's 30 cities, 2.5 million people. The water does come from the Tuolumne River. It's stored in Hetch Hetchy. And in California, when you have droughts and when you have rain that does not flow every day, it is about storage. 85% of the water that go to these 2.5 million people come from the Hetch Hetchy Valley and the storage there. To say that we have 9 reservoirs really is misleading. 4 of those 9 you see on the side of Highway 280 is Lower Crystal Springs, Upper Crystal Springs, San Andreas, and Pelotitos. All those put together store less than 1/6 of the water that's stored in Hetch Hetchy. So simply saying, just use your other reservoirs when 85% of the water is stored in the one reservoir is really kind of outrageous to even think about that. It's 117 billion gallons of water you're talking about putting someplace else. 117 billion gallons. It stores enough water to take us through droughts and take us through dry times. That's why you need storage in California. You just can't take run of the river. On to some of the things the congressman said.
Let me back up a moment, though. I mean, you're saying it's principally then an issue of storage as you see it.
Absolutely. Well, it is first of all storage. It is secondly that it is pristine water that doesn't need to be filtered and is high enough up in the mountains it can get here by gravity. So you also are talking about if you take it out of there and store it someplace else, you need to filter the water. If you stop it to filter it, you need to pump it. Huge amounts of energy in the United States is used to pump and move water around. We don't use that power because we are able to do it by gravity. If you drink water in downtown San Francisco, it has come straight from Hetchy down to here. No pumping at all. No misuse of any kind of power for that.
And I understand the clean side of this, but I also want to footnote this because there are many who are saying that there is no surplus storage of water available at Don Pedro.
There is currently no surplus storage of water available in Don Pedro. If you did anything with Don Pedro, you'd have to increase the size of the dam, backing it up into the wild and scenic Tuolumne River area, and you would have to then have it under the control of Modesto and Trolloc Irrigation District, and you would have to then filter it and pump it.
Just want to note you're getting some dissent here from Mike Marshall, but you had another point that you were making.
So the other point is that this idea that we're in violation of the Raker Act is simply not true. The Raker Act we are in compliance with. If you go back to what happened in the Raker Act, there was a concern in the Central Valley that as we built Hetch Hetchy, we might use that to bring water into the Bay Area for agricultural purposes. And the Central Valley farmers didn't want that kind of competition. So the wording that was added into the Raker Act talks about using the Tuolumne and local watersheds, but the real reason they put it in there was to say for its use for domestic and municipal purposes, they didn't want it to be used for agriculture. That's why the wording is in there. It's a complete misread that the congressman's chosen to stretch to make his point here. And finally, the real issue, and the congressman made this, it's about efficient and effective use of water. San Francisco, and I get that we don't use the same measurement in agricultural or suburban areas, so I'm using residential use. I'm avoiding all that kind of stuff. Residential use, San Franciscans use about 50 gallons a day. Our entire regional service area uses about 80 gallons a day. Statewide, the average is over 150. It's 2 to 3 times. So isn't it great that Orange County is doing recycled water more than we're doing it? I think it is. So let's talk about that. They use 3 times as much water as we do, and they recycle 8% of it. If I had a choice in life, I would put my money in San Francisco, where we have done a lot of things to conserve the use of water, as opposed to trying to build new plants in Golden Gate Park and places like that to recycle it. We should do more. We could always do more. But we are the most efficient users of water. We take that little bit of water out of the Tuolumne River, and we take care of 7% of the population of California with it. If that water flew into the Delta, it would be less than 1% of the water going into the Delta, and 7% of the state's population is reliant on Hetch Hetchy. You don't just take it down.
All right, we're coming up on a break, and I want to give out the phone number. I know there are many of you who have some strong interest and more than just an interest in this whole issue, and so you are welcome to join us. And in fact, we invite you to do that. Our toll-free number is available to you, and we welcome your calls, and now is the time to call. 866-733-6786. Again, you can join the program by calling in at our toll-free number and are welcome to do that. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or posting any questions or comments you might have on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment. And you can also join us by going to our Facebook page. I want to remind you that we are talking about essentially whether or not restoration of Hetch Hetchy and the destruction of the O'Shaughnessy Dam makes sense, particularly in legal terms, environmental terms, really the whole gamut here. With us in studio is Ed Harrington, whom you just heard from, General Manager of San Francisco Public Utilities Commission, Mike Marshall, Executive Director of Restore Hetch Hetchy, Jim Wunderman, President and CEO of the Bay Area Council, and with us by phone, Representative Dan Lundgren, who actually initiated this most recently with a letter to Secretary Salazar, Secretary of the Interior. And Dan Lundgren is member of the U.S. House of Representatives and Republican Congressman representing the 3rd District here in California. When we return, we'll hear from you. Stay tuned. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and California Congressman Dan Lundgren is asking the Interior Department to investigate whether San Francisco's use of water from Hetch Hetchy Valley is against the law, claiming that the city isn't using its own water efficiently. Congressman Lundgren's ultimate goal is to remove the dam and restore the valley to its natural state, and critics of the dam removal idea say the valley provides a crucial source of water and power. We have the debate going. We have two who are in favor of restoration, two who are opposed. And let me tell you once again who is with us here in studio. Mike Marshall is Executive Director of Restore Hetch Hetchy. Ed Harrington is General Manager of the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. Jim Wunderman is President and CEO of the Bay Area Council. And Congressman Lundgren with us by phone, member of the House of Representatives and a Republican representing California's 3rd District. Let's go right to your calls, and we begin, Derek, with you. Good morning, Derek. You're on the air.
Hi there. I wanted to bring up something that I think was missing from the debate, and more towards the environmentalists who want to restore Hetch Hetchy Valley. I visited Hetch Hetchy for the first time this year, although I've made many trips to the valley and the high country, and I was really struck at how it was a wilderness area and it wasn't well used, or it wasn't heavily used. And I'm a little concerned with what would happen if it really did become another Yosemite Valley with all of the traffic and the visitors and the concessions and that sort of thing. And, you know, about, you know, widening the road, and what if another 10,000 visitors were coming up the Big Oak Flat Road and everybody's been in those traffic jams. And I'm wondering if Mike Marshall and his people have thought that through and what he had to say about that.
Well, Mike Marshall, to you.
Thanks for the question, Derek. And let me ask you this. What did you think of the bird life around Hetch Hetchy when you visited there?
I didn't notice particularly too many birds.
There are very few.
There's
very few birds around Hetch Hetchy. There's this dead body of water that some people like to describe as a pretty lake. But the fact is that it has Hetch Hetchy Valley was once a stop on migratory bird trips, and today there's very little bird life surrounding the Hetch Hetchy Valley. It's sort of a dead place. If you get into the backcountry, you start to hear the birds sing, but around Hetch Hetchy, you don't. The notion that we shouldn't restore it because we don't want it to become what Yosemite Valley is on 4th of July is looking at it from the wrong perspective. The Park Service now has significant protocols in place relative to development of parks or the creation of parks. And it's clear that Hetch Hetchy Valley would never be allowed to be what Yosemite Valley is today. In fact, the big challenge will be, as the restoration process happens, it will be a tourist attraction. We should want people to come and see this valley coming back to life before our eyes. And so how do we grapple with that while not disturbing the restoration itself? And one of the suggestions has been that we recreate or rebuild the Hetch Hetchy Railroad to bring all of the supplies in needed to restore the valley. And if that the decision is made to remove the dam, some people have argued, let's just blow a hole in the bottom and leave the dam there for future generations to see the folly of man. Either way, a new Hetch Hetchy Railroad could then be a people mover around the valley as the restoration process is going on. But there's no circumstances under which we would see it replicating Yosemite Valley. The Park Service would never allow it. The public would never allow it. And the benefit of bringing this extraordinary ecosystem back to life is just so significant that it should be a concern but not an obstacle.
Well, let me thank Derek for his call, and I'm going to go to more of your calls here. Jake, you're up next. Good morning. Welcome.
Hey, Michael. Thank you for taking the call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you fine.
Very good. Hello to everybody in the room or on the call. I just have a quick question / comment about this issue. San Francisco is one of the few cities, if not the only city in the United States of America, that has a gravity-fed water supply. And where this, in a sense, benefits us most greatly is in preparation for a national disaster. And I know we haven't had a huge earthquake since 89, but in the context of cities that could be facing a natural disaster, it's a bit of an outlier. But Hetch Hetchy having a gravity-fed water supply for our population could be incredibly beneficial. And as much as I appreciate the fact that we want to bring it back to its natural state, it's almost one of those concepts of save for a rainy day, and this could be a great benefit if times get really tough. So I just want to share that with the audience and see if they are with the people in the room or on the call, and and see if they have a response to that.
All right. I thank you for the call. Jim, wonder if we want to respond to the specter of earthquake with respect to Hetch Hetchy and the water supply?
Well, clearly a natural disaster in California, an earthquake, it's not a, you know, it's not a remote possibility. It's a future likelihood. In fact, the seismologists predict the,
it's inevitable,
the chance of a major earthquake over the next 30 years, because we're overdue, is well over 50%. And so we do need to be prepared for that. And since we haven't had an earthquake of this magnitude since 1906, nobody remembers, there's no one alive who remembers what the impact would be. But the fact is we must be prepared for it. And, you know, San Francisco wasn't destroyed by the earthquake. It was destroyed by the ensuing fire. And so we need to, having the, one of the reasons the Raker Act came into being was it was precisely for this reason. This region ran out of water, and we need to have resources in place that are reliable when this event eventually occurs. You know, with all of the, you know, we care a lot about it, the economy here at the Bay Area Council. We're a business association that thinks about education and having the energy resources in place and having the transportation infrastructure in place to support an economy. But in the event of a major occurrence like an earthquake, all of that will change. And the one thing that can clearly damage us, like what happened in Louisiana and New Orleans for generations, would be a major disaster. And having the water resources in place to prepare for that eventuality is critical.
And Congressman Lunger, let me go back to you with a question from a listener named Scott, who says, it's hard for me to hear this from Congressman Lunger without thinking this is the beginning of a new SoCal grab for water. I know what he is saying. He likes Yosemite and wants a second one, but questioning San Francisco's right to Hetch Hetchy can lead anywhere.
I'm not sure what the point of it is. I mean,
You might address, a concern about a SoCal water grab, I think.
No, but why don't we talk about facts? I mean, we don't need ad hominem arguments. I'm not here fronting for Southern California or anybody else. I represent the Sacramento area. I just find it very, very interesting that there are all these declaratory statements as to what the facts are with respect to the inevitability or the absolute necessity of Hetch Hetchy remaining exactly the way it is, else San Francisco will be destroyed. If that's the case, let's do a study. The previous administration, the Bush administration, asked for, I believe it was $7 or $8 million, to do a definitive study on whether or not it's technically feasible and practical for an alternative to Hetch Hetchy with respect to all the questions that have been raised here. That was removed from the budget because of vociferous opposition by, I presume, the Speaker of the House at that time, Nancy Pelosi, and others who represent the San Francisco area. Look, if in fact the facts are what they say they are, why not have a study? And this idea that, well, we're going to waste money studying it, the further we get down the line, the more inevitable it is that you will never have an alternative to the Hetch Hetchy. Don Hodel talked about this in 1988. There was a reaction that wouldn't even allow a serious study. The previous administration in Sacramento did a compilation of the previous studies, which led to the Bush administration suggesting a serious study ought to be done. I am confounded by the opposition to having a serious study that would answer these questions. If they are as they say they are, that is the answers, then the conclusion is fairly obvious. There is no alternative to the Hetch Hetchy. It is not worth it for us to restore the Hetch Hetchy. In fact, as I understand it now, we are doing far greater protection of the Hetch Hetchy by putting it underwater than we would by allowing it to remain in its natural state. Now, I have never heard such an argument before, but if that is the position, let's put it out there. Let's do a study. People can see whether there's some sort of effort behind this to allow Southern California to steal the water from San Francisco or from somewhere else. I don't believe that's the case. My own concern about this is trying to reestablish one of God's great creations that John Muir talked about. I think it would be hard to convince John Muir that we are protecting the environment by putting the Hetch Hetchy under 300 feet of water.
Let me go, if I may, to you, Ed Harrington. I have a specific question for you, and I know you wanted to respond, and so did Mike Marshall, to what the congressman just said. But let's just take up this question first. This is a listener named Chris who says, when is the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission going to hold a public hearing in San Francisco so that San Francisco residents and ratepayers can participate in the debate about whether Hetch Hetchy Valley and Yosemite National Park is returned to all of the people of the United States and the world, for that matter?
So 2 points. The first, Congressman Lundgren says if we just do a little study, we could solve all this. The State Water Department of Water Resources that did the study several years ago said a real study for this would take about $65 million. If I have $65 million, I'm not going to spend it doing something that I don't think is ever going to happen. And so it's not a few million dollars. It's a big deal. And let's use the money wisely. The second point is, when are we going to have a hearing? It is one of the clarion calls from the Shore Hetch Hetchy people. The people of San Francisco have already spoken. The people of San Francisco have put in their charter that Hetch Hetchy is a irreplaceable asset of the city of San Francisco, and it is our duty to protect it. It's outrageous. What if somebody said you should have a hearing on whether to change the name of the city of San Francisco? We'd say, of course we have to, because they're asking for it. We don't need to do a study. We don't need to do a hearing. I have the language from the charter right here. It says the voters of the city are committed to preserving and protecting the system as well as safeguarding the extraordinary quality of the water from Yosemite and local watersheds. It's been decided already by our voters.
Ed is
Mike Marshall.
Ed really needs a new lawyer on several levels. There's nothing in what you just read that says Hetch Hetchy Reservoir. It says the Hetch Hetchy system, which is all nine reservoirs that are part of the system, including Don Pedro as flood control and a water bank and the pipeline. There's absolutely nothing there that says that the PUC cannot consider environmental improvements to the existing water system, particularly given it was created in the 19th century. The notion that San Franciscans find it antithetical to consider environmental improvements is just crazy. But I also want to say something about what Ed said earlier, which is that 85% of our water is stored in Hetch Hetchy. That's just not true. 85% of our water comes from the Tuolumne River. It is stored in nine different reservoirs. On any given day, that's about 25% of it is stored at Hetch Hetchy. On dry days or dry years, it goes up to about 40%. But our water is from the Tuolumne River. And to the caller that sort of ignited this or asked the question, our water rights are tied to the Tuolumne River, and no one is talking about taking them away. What Congressman Lundgren is saying in his letter is that you are responsible, San Francisco, I'm a San Franciscan, are responsible for exhausting all local water resources before we divert a drop of Tuolumne River water. We do zero water recycling, zero. 20% of the tap water in Orange County is recycled. San Francisco doesn't recycle a drop. In 1930, before the system came online, we pumped 14.5 million gallons a day of groundwater. Today, we do less than 3 million gallons a day. So we've gone in the opposite direction, despite the fact that the law that provides us our water rights, and therefore we're putting ourselves at risk relative to our water rights, clearly states, as Congressman Lundgren has argued, that the lack of local water resources is a violation of the Raker Act.
Congressman Lundgren, direct question for you. Actually, a listener wants to know, talks about cost again and says, I can't believe that Representative Lundgren wants to create a new park at a huge cost when a report on your station just before Forum went on the air this morning was about the need to close state parks because of lack of money. Well, first of all, I guess, are you opposed to the state parks are you opposed to the cuts of state parks? And secondly, I have to ask you, since so many members of the GOP have signed this no tax pledge, what about a tax for the cost of this $65 million study?
Well, first of all, I'm not against state parks. Secondly, this is not a question about whether we're going to increase taxes or so forth. It's a question of priorities. I would support a study out of current budget. I think it's a higher priority than others. And to suggest that in any way that Yosemite National Park is just another park is, well, to me, is almost sacrilegious. I happen to think it's one of the great parks in the world.
You got married there, too.
Well, I didn't get married there. I met my wife there.
I mean, you met your wife there.
But, right. But I mean, it is one of the great wonders of the world. And I just, for the life of me, find it difficult to believe we're wasting money to study the possibility of restoring one of the great wonders of the world. Now, maybe I'm biased because of my own personal attachment to Yosemite, and I'll just throw it out there. But it just seems to me it's a hard argument for me to swallow to hear people say, well, it's not worth it to study this. It's almost incalculable in terms of value. That is, that which is Yosemite. And That's my view, and so I find it difficult to sort of understand these other arguments. I'm sorry.
Well, we'll hear from some more of our listeners. In fact, I think this next caller, John, wants to broach the whole topic of cost. John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. So if the cost is $3.5 billion or $10 billion or whatever the eventual cost is, I'm wondering, I think it's highly unlikely that the Disney Corporation is going to chip in and pay for this. So I'm wondering, who's going to pay for that? And maybe that question can explain some exasperation if you're a resident of San Francisco, why you wouldn't want to pay to lose your water rights and lose your water supply, especially at that kind of a cost. And I think about the state's general fund and funding for the University of California system, and I think $10 billion is about half of what we pay for our UC system, and that puts it in context for me of the, you know, why are we, do we need to study this kind of expenditure, and who is going to pay that cost?
All right. I thank you for that call. We'll let it stand. We'll go to more of your calls. And, Jerry, you're up next. Good morning. You're on forum.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I want to go back to the Raker Act question. And San Francisco has said, both on this program and in comments made into the media, that they are absolutely convinced they're in compliance with the Raker Act. Now, Mr. Lungren, Congressman Lungren, the formerly Attorney General, is a lawyer. The Environmental Defense Report on this whole issue has a 37-page legal opinion by one of the most prominent water law firms in California saying that the Raker Act argument that Congressman Lungren is raising is a valid argument. My question is to the San Francisco folks, who is your lawyer that tells you you are definitely in compliance with the Raker Act?
All right, Mike Marshall, Ed Harrington. Mike Marshall said you need another lawyer. Who's your lawyer on this?
The primary lawyer is the city attorney for the city and county of San Francisco, who is an
Dennis
expert
Herrera.
On the city's charter. Yeah. We have other attorneys in Washington, D.C., and Sacramento, and in San Francisco who have concurred with that.
All right. Let me thank the caller. We'll go to more of your calls. We'll go to San Bruno. Charles, join us. You're on.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Michael. Okay. I've lived here for about 35 years in San Francisco, and I'm actually working in San Bruno. Last time I visited Yosemite was about 19 years ago. My son was then about 4 years old. And it was not during the 4th of July weekend or any other holiday. And, you know, I was pretty amazed at, you know, how run down it looked compared to my earlier visit. And I think that, I love John Muir. I've read many books on him, and I've got books from Ansel Adams, and I can appreciate what was, you know, Hetch Hetchy before. But I think Hetch Hetchy is one of San Francisco's treasures. It's a water supply. All these years, I've read Hetch Hetchy is San Francisco's water supply. And, you know, I didn't get the gentleman's name, but he came on and made it sound like it's not our water supply. It's like one-ninth of our water supply or something. I think the cost is... You know, we should just leave well enough alone. We've got other issues, and I think the money can be used to help get Yosemite, you know, make it a better place for families. I wouldn't go back there, you know, after, you know, what I witnessed 19 years ago. I was felt very unsafe.
All right, Charles. We thank you for that call. Another opinion from there. Jim Wunderman, you want to add something here?
You know, I think this gets back, several of the callers and commentary has been about a question of priorities. Of course, Yosemite is important. You know, we've all visited Yosemite Park. It is such a beautiful place and a wonderful place. And if we could improve it, whether it's the existing valley or other improvements that could be made in the environs, we would do it. But we're in a society, we're in a time where we there's tremendous pressure on the resources we have just to maintain the society and do things we should be doing and are not doing. Our transportation infrastructure, our education infrastructure, all of these things are being withered away. And to consider going down a path that could lead to spending at least billions, if not tens of billions of dollars, to go on an uncharted course that could risk the economy of the region, because our water system is one of the attractions. It's one of the certainties that we have that make the Bay Area such a productive place to contribute so much to the California economy, to the U.S. economy, and so forth. It just seems like it's an unfair question. You pull at people's heartstrings and say, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could restore this valley? Sure. In some circumstances, it could be wonderful, but at the price of what else? And these are the kind of decisions responsible lawmakers like Congressman Lundgren have to make. And I think given the issues that face us as a society at this critical time, underscored by the debate that's going on in Congress today, we're at once again a logjam about whether we can even run the country or not. This has to be taken into consideration, and somebody's got to be a responsible adult and say, let's focus on the key priorities that need to be addressed in these times and in this situation. And this isn't it.
Mike Marshall.
So, Jim, I would just ask you to not be part of this mind think that says we should be afraid of the future and we should be afraid of change. The city of San Francisco has led this country consistently on changes relative to dealing with HIV, gay marriage, dealing with waste issues. We're a country that has led the world on change and on opportunity and looking at opportunity and running towards it and seizing it. And this notion that we live in an era when we can't have imagination for how to improve ourselves or the world around us is just un-American. It's not the country I grew up in. And I would urge the listeners, and as well as you, Jim, and your organization, to think robustly about the future and not be afraid of it.
All right. I want to read from some listeners here, and a lot of emails coming in, different opinions, and I want to get these on the air. This is Cindy, who writes, "The hypocrisy of Bay Area Democrats who pretend to care so much about the environment is appalling. San Francisco presides over the world's dirtiest power plant. Clean hydro is more nonsensical than clean coal. It begins with the destruction of a river valley ecosystem, in this case, a spectacularly scenic one." Riley says, "I get it. The valley was gorgeous. I wish Hetch Hetchy had not been built, but here and now, many of my favorite parks and wilderness areas are closing due to fiscal insolvency. If we can't afford what we have, do we need more at this cost?" Another listener, Art, writes, "If there is any movement to drain the Hetch Hetchy Reservoir, why shouldn't all the water users have an opportunity to vote on that public policy question? A reply that San Francisco owns the system will be considered unresponsive to the public policy question." And Kathy says, "So much misinformation coming from opponents of restoration. First, the water does need to be filtered. The PUC admits that people with compromised immune systems should boil the water. Interesting, too, that San Francisco tries to share blame with the other cities when San Francisco holds complete control over the system. I live in Atherton, a city that gets its water from the Tuolumne River system, and I believe the water should be filtered. The valley should be restored." Wanda from Palo Alto says, "So the motivation for the teardown movement is coming from the commercial interests who feel they have maxed out tourist opportunities in Yosemite Valley? In my opinion, we no longer have the option to consider scenery as the primaries in a conserved land. Development in the Bay Area is done on an infill basis, so why destroy a very good source of water to provide development opportunities in Yosemite? Hetch Hetchy water is now an important part of our scheme." And let me bring some more of our calls on. And Matt, we go to you next. Good morning.
Good morning. This is a question for Mr. Marshall. They say that politics makes strange bedfellows, and I can't imagine or think of any stranger than a supposed environmental organization and Congressman Lundgren, who has a 0% rating from the League of Conservation Voters, and they also label this current Congress as the least environmentally sensitive in the history of the nation. Can you explain how and why Congressman Lundgren is the spokesman for your organization on this issue?
Well, first off, Congressman Lundgren is one of many spokespersons. There's a great deal of people advocating on behalf of this, and we're very appreciative of that. And people who know me know that I have strong Democratic Party credentials. But we live in an era where Republicans have stopped talking to Democrats and vice versa, and we lament, us Democrats in San Francisco lament, the fact that Republicans won't talk to us in D.C. And here we are having a congressman who's willing to go out and speak his mind on an issue he clearly cares a great deal about. And I'm proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with him on this issue. I'm sure that Congressman Lundgren and I disagree on a whole lot of other issues, and he would agree with that. But on this issue, it's about a national park. It's about a national asset. It doesn't belong to the city of San Francisco. The city of San Francisco leases it from the American people. And, you know, earlier Ed said something to the effect that it'll never happen. It will happen. It's inevitable that it will happen. The question is, will San Francisco and San Francisco's leaders be a part of the solution or have a solution thrust upon them by the United States Congress?
And just as we round up toward the conclusion of this hour, you hope to have it on the November ballot.
That's correct.
Okay. And let's hear some final remarks about where this ought to go or what your final assessment is. We'll hear next, if we may, from you, Ed Harrington.
Sure. One thing we haven't mentioned is that we love all of Yosemite National Park. Our watershed is actually a third of Yosemite National Park. And so if you go to Tuolumne Meadows, if you go to any part of the northern part of Yosemite, we're paying for it. We pay over $5 million a year to the National Park Service to actually take care of all of that for all the visitors. So it's not just Hetch Hetchy that benefits from that wonderful place. It's the larger part of Yosemite National Park. It is a value of San Franciscans to have their fabulous water from Hetch Hetchy. It is something that we all need. I don't see it happening that we're going to tear it down, and I don't see spending a lot of money and a lot of other time and effort on having this debate when there are so many more important things to talk about and deal with.
And we'll hear some final words next from you, Jim Wunderman.
Again, thanks for having this conversation. You know, I would certainly urge listeners who haven't visited Hetch Hetchy to please do so if you have a chance to get up there, because I think once you see it and once you visit there, you'll make the determination that I made when I first did this 25 years ago, that this is a place that you might have – things might have occurred differently, but to take the water out of this particular area would put tremendous risk and harm on a very important region in the country. It happens to be our region. We did something 100 years ago. A tremendous amount of thought and energy went into this. We've spent 100 years maintaining, improving the system. Again, I think the knock on San Francisco that somehow it's been a poor steward of this and that somehow we should tear down the dam and let the water run free there because San Francisco doesn't recycle enough water. It's an inappropriate argument that's being raised for purposes that I'm not sure even what they are. But I'd encourage you to take a look at Hetch Hetchy personally before you get involved in a movement or vote for this kind of activity, because it's just not a priority in our view.
And let's hear a final word from you, Dan Lundgren, Congressman Lundgren.
Well, first of all, just in response to a couple of questions, particularly the last fellow, when I was Attorney General of the State of California, we had record settlements under Proposition 65. We had the largest single environmental settlement in the history of California in a toxic spill case. We represented vigorously the positions of state environmental agencies in court. We worked with others to help clean up the waters of Lake Tahoe, brought major actions to halt the acid mine drainage. So I've been involved in environmental issues for many, many years. Secondly, I would just say we've had changes within the park. We used to have the firefall there in the middle of the park. We no longer do that because we don't think that is natural. Cars used to roam all over the park in ways that they're not allowed now. We have made changes in the park to protect the park. This would be a change, ultimately, if we were able to have a restoration of the Hetch Hetchy, if that is, in fact, possible, and would not deny San Francisco access to water. The last thing I'd just say is, does Hetch Hetchy belong to all of America or just to San Francisco? And as far as I can tell, there's no other national park that's currently occupied by a municipal utility.
I think that's going to conclude it. Thank you, Congressman Lundgren. Thank you, Mike Marshall. Thank you, Ed Harrington. And thank you, Jim Wunderman. And thank you, our listeners. Another hour of Forum Ahead, we're going to meet novelist Peter Orner, whose new novel is Love and Shame and Love, which is receiving a great deal of praise. Stay with us on Forum. Thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, our producers, Kevin Guillory, Judy Campbell, and Amy Machado. Our engineer is Annie Bringer. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.